We'll be in Mark chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, please take it out and turn with me to Mark 4. And that's where we'll be starting this morning. Very good. Well, let's go ahead and pray and we'll dive into Mark chapter 4. We'll be talking about the question, am I good soil? And hopefully that will become more apparent to you while we're talking about that in a couple of minutes. But Mark chapter 4, am I good soil? Well, dear God in heaven, we just come and bow our hearts before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for our drama team and for their hard work to talk about the light. And Lord, I pray that as we're talking about the light you intend us to be, that you'll help us with these ideas this morning. Lord, as we read your word and talk about seed and soil and what it's like to be farmers and what it's like to have seed planted inside of us, planted right in our hearts. Lord, just thank you for all these different pictures that you've given us to understand truth, to understand your word, to understand your work and the growth of your kingdom in our world. Lord, make us mystery solvers this morning, that we'd see these things and that we would allow your work in our hearts and even encourage your work in our hearts. I pray in Christ's name, amen. I don't mean to be speaking in riddles this morning, but isn't it interesting that Jesus told some stories, you could almost call them riddles, to a lot of the people that he was out speaking to when he was on the earth. So I just want us to read the beginning. We're going to actually read a lot of this chapter, but let's read what he said to the crowd gathered one day. Mark chapter 4, start in verse 1. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's what the multitude heard that day. Later, and we're going to read it together this morning, Jesus talks about this parable. He explains this parable. But that's what the multitude heard. So think with me about this for a moment. Last week, we talked about seed. And here's an example. You probably can't see it. Can you? Just this tiny little tannish, orangish looking thing. It almost looks like a piece of broken bread wafer that Christine still had hidden in her Bible this morning. But there's something so powerful inside of that, that if you drop it in the ground and it gets some water and sunlight, it's going to become this plant and produce fruit. It's absolutely incredible. And we talked a lot about that last week, and how God wants to plant the seed of his gospel in our hearts, the good news in our hearts, because that's going to grow and change us. But there's another piece to this puzzle that we're talking about. We not only have the seed, there's another piece to the puzzle, and that is the soil that seed's planted in. Let's talk about soil for a moment. Back when Kathy and I lived in Maryland, we were in this little cul-de-sac, 10 homes. Behind our house, we had a little raised garden that we put up. So we put up all kinds of nice black dirt in it and threw all the compost in there we could come up with, and we were growing things back there. And one, I can't remember if it was fall. Anyhow, Kathy came home one day, and in the trunk of the car was this raggedy-looking old stalk, a little bit of green left on it, about this tall. And a friend had given it to her, and it was thornless, how you say it? Thornless blackberry bush. Raggedy looking. So she drove home with it. We forgot about it. Left it out there, I think, for a couple months in the back of the car. And finally she remembered it. Was that that fall or was that the next spring? Okay. So sometime that fall we remember the plant. So we go out there, we plant it back in our little raised bed. So the next spring, it begins to bloom. And by the end of the year, the thing is as tall as me and 8 foot in diameter. It's incredible. I mean, it is thick. It is dark green. It is one of the healthiest blackberry bushes you will ever see. And for years, if the birds didn't beat us to them, you could get buckets full of blackberries off of this bush. We loved that thing because there weren't any thorns in it, right? When you go to pick blackberries, you're always getting poked. It's awesome. So when we moved to Virginia, we're like, we're taking the blackberry bush. So we bring it with us, and we have a house built over here out behind McQueen's store, and so we plant the blackberry bush, expecting the same thing. Well, the blackberry bush sits out there for years. I don't remember how many years. I'm guessing 4 or 5 years. And the thing finally got about this tall and had 4 or 5 little measly-looking stalks. It was all that ever became of it. We had plenty of rain during those years. Actually, I think more rain for this area than normal. Lots of sun back there. To me, it seemed that all the conditions were the same, except for one, the soil. And no horse manure. The soil did it. Incredible. Incredible difference. And when Jesus tells this parable, I think that there's something very important, and that is, he's saying, listen, no matter how powerful this seed is, there's another piece to the puzzle. And that is the soil of our hearts, the soil that God's word, God's seed, is planted in. So this morning we're asking a question, am I good soil? Very valid question, right? I think it's easy for us, I know it's easy for me, to look at my own life and I say, sure, I'm good soil. I mean, it's me, right? What could be wrong with me? And it's easy for me to think that way. But you know what? I think we need to take a second look, and we need to really look at our own hearts and say, wow, am I good soil? It's an important question. And I think as we read some of the things that Jesus has to say here may hit home with you. I know that they did with me, that they do with me. So pick it up with me in verse 10. As soon as he was alone, that is Jesus, his followers, along with the 12, begin asking him about the parables. And he explains why he's teaching them in parables. Okay, we're not going to get into that today. That's a topic for another day. But go down to verse 13. He said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. Okay, so we talked about that last week. The seed is the word of God. It's the truth of God. It's the good news that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave and we can be forgiven. This is that seed that God's planting in our hearts. The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. Okay, so when we read earlier, some of the seed fell beside the road. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. Okay, so what he's saying here is that the first kind of soil is like the soil beside the roadside. It's rock hard. It's rock hard. And when the seed hits it, this little seed falls on it, It just lies there. It doesn't go anywhere. It might get a little bit wet if it rains, but it's just sitting there right on top of the ground. And then a bird comes along, and he's like, "Woo, lunch!" And it's gone. Just like that, it's gone. That powerful, powerful seed that we talked about last week, in an instant, it's gone. So we have to look, in looking in our hearts, we have to ask that question. Is that me? Is that kind of soil me? I know in many, many instances it's been me. I think I've told some of you the story. I'm pretty sure I've told the story in church about reading through the Bible. You know, that's one of my habits. And I can remember, it wasn't actually Mark, it was Matthew. I was reading through Matthew one time, and I came to the end of the Sermon on the Mountain, where Jesus tells one of his most famous sermons. And at the end of the sermon, he says, "Now, I want to tell you about a house built on a rock and a house built on some sand. And what happens to the house on the sand? Washed away. House on the rock? Strong. Doesn't move, right? So what was the difference between the two? Sorry? Okay, but more specifically, all right, and what made the soil stable was one thing. I'm sorry? Jesus is the rock. The only difference was they both heard the words. One person did it, and one person didn't do it. That was the only difference. Matthew chapter 7. They both heard all of Jesus. Jesus told them the story. He said, "Now you've been here, you've been listening, you've heard it. Now let me tell you about these two kinds of soils. The one who did it is like a man who built his house on the rock. The one who didn't do it is like a man who built his house on the sand." And I was reading through the Bible in my quiet times. I got to that ending and closed my Bible and said, "Okay, Lord, thanks. I had a great time today." And all of a sudden, this little thought hits me. Well, wait a minute. I'm getting ready to leave my quiet time, but I'm not going to do a thing. I mean, I've been reading all these wonderful things from the Bible, but I don't have a single solitary thing that's going to change about my day today. I'm getting ready to walk out that door and go to work, and I don't know if I'll even remember what I just read. I'm the foolish man. I'm the foolish man. And the Lord just convicted my heart with that thing. And so the next day in my quiet time, I went right back to the beginning of the Sermon on the Mountain. And I started taking notes. Okay, Lord, what does this mean for me? What do I do because of this? And I think that's kind of the idea behind the rocky side, the hard soil. Does the Word of God hit our hearts and affect us? Or do we just go out these doors or out of our door after reading in the morning and it doesn't change us? Very, very good question. But look at the next kind of soil. Verse 16. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was thrown on the rocky places. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Okay, so the second kind of soil is a little bit further out. It might still have some rocks and pebbles and stuff, but the seed can actually get a tiny bit below the surface, okay? So it's like mostly rocky soil, right? But there's a little bit of depth there. So the seed goes under the ground, And it's very close to the ground, so when it rains, it immediately gets wet, and that seed immediately pops up out of the ground. But when the sun comes out, it doesn't have any root system. It's going down anywhere. So the sun just kind of wilts it, and it ends up dying. Okay, this is soil number two. And this is the kind of person that they hear God's word, they receive it with joy. You know, in an instant, they say, yeah, that's me. I want that. But they don't really have any depth yet. And so that week, they go out and they tell their friends, hey, you know what happened to me Sunday? I became a Christian. And their friends start laughing. Or maybe they go out and they're tempted to do some old habit in their life. And they do it. And so they get discouraged and they say, oh man, I can't do that stuff. That's too hard. I can't do that stuff. I can't have my friends laughing at me. And so they immediately decide, I don't think God was really talking to me. And so they lose what they so quickly grabbed a hold of. That's the soil in the rocky ground. It is very, 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 very shallow. So I have to ask myself the question, is this ever me? So I think we should all ask ourselves that question. Is this ever me? Am I shallow like that? Does God's word start to take root, but I don't let it really take root? You know, when my friends laugh, or maybe I don't even tell my friends because I'm just so convinced they're going to laugh. Is that ever you? I know it's been me very, very frequently. Unfortunately, it's been me. So I think we need to keep that question in our minds. Here's a third kind of soil. Verse 18. Others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Okay, so this is one where the soil's a little better. You know, the seed goes on down in, it sprouts up, it begins to grow. Maybe the plant is becoming strong, but there's a bunch of other stuff growing there, like thorns and weeds and undesirable plants are growing all around it. And they start sucking all of the moisture out of the ground, and they start crowding in on it and covering it up so it can't get the sunlight. And so that plant also doesn't bear fruit, and it ends up shriveling and dying. So would that ever be us? Would that ever be us? And I think on occasion that's been me. You know, what were the things that choke the word here? Verse 18, they were the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. And it's easy to let those things choke out God's word in our lives. Worries, whew. Right? Worries are tough. Our desire for other things can be really tough, and it can choke out God's word. So I think, you know, just such important questions for us to ponder. Is this ever me? But look at the last one here, and this, of course, is the one that's most fun to look at, and I think it's the kind of soil that we should all aspire to be. And that is verse 20. It says, and those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. All right, this is the one that I wanted to get to, that we all want to get to, I think. And notice three things about it, though. This is the good soil. It says three things happen here. It says they hear the word, they accept the word, and they bear fruit. Three very important steps. They hear the word is the first one. Remember what Jesus said when he was out with the crowd? The crowd didn't get his whole message, right? They didn't get him identifying each of these items. But at the end, when he was talking to them, he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The first step for us is hearing. It's interesting why you have to meditate on why did Jesus speak in parables? Interesting question. I mean, he talked about it a little bit back there. We skipped it for a little bit. But why would he speak in parables? You ever think about how one of the things Jesus told us in another place is that we're responsible for things that we've heard? Remember how he said, if I have a slave and I don't really give him instructions about something and he messes up, he might be in a little bit of a trouble. But if I have another guy and I give him detailed instructions and he messes up and he doesn't follow through, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. Right? Remember that story? I know I have paraphrased it a good bit here. But the one who knows is going to be in more trouble than the one who doesn't. And it's like Jesus is telling parables because he's waiting for that responsive person. Right? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's waiting for that person whose ears are going to prick up and who's going to say, "Wait, I think something important is going down here. I'm going to follow those guys." And so he goes into the back room and he gets to hear the rest of Jesus' message where Jesus unfolds this whole thing. I think we just don't sometimes understand, I know I don't, how important it is to hear. You know, have you got your ears on, good buddy? Are you listening? How many people are going to stand before the Lord on Judgment Day and they're going to say something like, "Well, Lord, did I really hear this message?" And many of them may have been sitting in church for 30 years and should have heard it if they had had their ears on, good buddy. So are we listening? The good soil. And of course, this is the fun part about going over to good soil and talking about it so much. It's because we get to prepare our hearts. Right? We get to till the soil. We get to work the soil. We get to put in the fertilizer. We get to try to become that good soil that will be fruitful. And the first step is, do we have our ears on? Are we listening? Second step is they accept it. Okay, going back to verse 20, those are the ones on whom the seed was sown, the good soil. They hear the word, they accept it. All right, so they let it come down into the soil of their heart. In other words, these people let God's word have its full effect in their lives. Okay, they don't just think about it for a moment. But they're like the people that, you know, they're taking notes. You know, someone's talking, the speaker's talking. You know, you were in the class, you were in science class, and some people are like, "I'm never going to use this in 10 million years." And they walked out of that science class, and they probably don't remember hardly any of it. But then there were the people in there, he was going, and they were writing just as hard as they could go, and they went home, and they were studying it because they wanted to get that information. This is what good soil is like. They are not only hearing, but they're chewing on it. You know, it's like the cow with the four stomachs. Y'all heard that story, right? Cow has four stomachs. Really interesting. He puts it in the first stomach when he first eats it. Then later, during the day, he pulls it up and chews on it some more. They call it chewing their cud. Well, they're actually not. It's not a cud. There's nothing up there in their little... It's the food. They brought it back up and they're chewing on it some more. That's what a cow does. That's what we should be like with God's word. You know, we get a little piece of it in the morning, and then on our way into work, we pull it back up, and we go, "What did you mean by that, Lord?" We start chewing on it. All right, how can I do that when I walk into my office? How can I do that? They accept God's word. They embrace God's word. They figure out a way to do it. Let it have its full effect in their lives. This reminds me of when I was a kid. I was actually in my late teens, I think, and I read this book. I think, actually, I got it from Kathy. It was called Not My Will. And it was about this beautiful young lady who was just like off the hook. I mean, she was beautiful, so she was like the life of the party. And she could have and do almost anything that she wanted, and that's what she did. And she wrecked her life. And later in her life, she started really listening to the message of the gospel and the message of the Bible. And so the book was written, Not My Will, because she finally came to the place where she said, okay, Lord, I wrecked it. Would you fix it? Would you fix it? And so her idea was, it's not going to be my will anymore. I'm going to do what God says is right. I'm going to follow His plan laid out in the Bible, His will for my life. That's going to be what I embrace. And it changed her. Changed her. And it was just really such a motivating book for me because it just made it so crystal clear. Okay, I can do what I want to do. Or I can do what God wants me to do. He's a lot smarter than me. Let's go for that plan. So we accept the word. And then finally, the third thing that the good soil does here, they hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit. 30, 60, and 100-fold. They bear fruit. And so there's a lot involved here. I just want us to talk about it a little bit this morning. It kind of goes back to last week, right? What we talked about was becoming farmers, the farmer's life for me. And so we talked about praying and serving and planting the seed and then spending time with people and then harvesting and then helping other people multiply their lives. And we're farmers. This is our business. We are in business to build God's kingdom. And this is a very similar idea. Jesus says they not only hear the word, they not only accept the word, but they bear fruit. Some of them 30-fold, some of them 60-fold. Am I getting that right? Yes, and some of them 100-fold. Okay, so different gifts, different abilities, different talents, different amounts of fruit. God's not saying one's better than the other. He's just saying good soil bears fruit. You'll be fruitful. In your way, the way that God's gifted you, you will be fruitful. Now, some people will say, well, how do you know that's what it means to be fruitful? Well, think about our skit this morning and look at the very next verse with me. Look at verse 21. And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? It's brought to be put on a lampstand. When you go get a light, you don't go get a huge trash can like that, do you? No way. What? A trash can? No, you bring the light. You stick it right up on the table, or up on top of your dresser, or up on top of your workspace, and let it shine. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Read it again. A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? You know, before they decided to do the skit, I was thinking, I know what I'm going to do this week. I'm going to go get a light, wait till it's pitch black. I'm going to take it upstairs and stick it under my bed and flip it on. See how much good it does. Not going to do squat, right? Like, why'd I turn that on? And that's what Jesus is saying. He has shown His light down inside of us so that we will shine for all the world to see. and bear fruit. I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to one last passage of Scripture. We're going to read this together and maybe talk about it briefly before we're done here today. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. While you're turning there, you know, we went through, not very long ago, we went through the book of Philippians together. And Philippians, of course, was just a really bright spot in Paul's life, okay? He loved that church, and he writes to them, they're partners, he's encouraging them, of course, trying to help them along the way still. But coming to Corinthians, it's a whole different story. Corinthians was basically Paul's problem child, okay? They had a lot of issues. All right, and so you're going to see some of their issues coming out here. But I want you to know, Paul never gave up on those guys. He wrote them two long letters. I think two of his longest letters went to the Corinthian church because he's trying to answer all their questions and help them solve their problems. But he never gave up on those guys, and he still kept the vision in front of them. You know, it's not like he said to them, "All right, you guys are messing up. You're disqualified. You're out of the game." Right? He didn't do that. He still kept the vision in front of them. Really interesting. But read these verses with me. We're in 1 Corinthians 4. Start with me in verse 9. Paul says, "For I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty, and are poorly clothed, and are roughly treated, and are homeless. And we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me." And this is really an interesting passage of Scripture. What is Paul talking about here? I am convinced, and we don't have time to go back and dig down deep into the context, but I'm convinced that this is what Paul's talking about. If you notice up at the top, he's talking about how he says we're a spectacle to the world. We're fools for Christ. We're without honor. We are hungry. We're thirsty. We're poorly clothed. We're clothed. We're roughly treated. We're homeless. We toil, working with our hands night and day, etc., etc., etc. Paul is saying, Corinthians, we are out in the harvest. We are working with all of our might. We're homeless. We're being mistreated. We're being reviled. We're doing everything that we can to get the message of the gospel into the hands of these people, even if it means persecution for us, even if it means suffering for us. And of course, if you've read many of his letters, you know that he went through a lot of that. But on the other hand, the Corinthians, what were they? They were prudent in Christ. Right? Go back to verse 9. No, verse 10. "We're fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent. We are weak, but you are strong. You are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor." I think that the Corinthians were a little bit too sophisticated to want to talk much about Jesus. You know, they were prudent. They were just above that sort of thing. We don't need to do that. No one wants to hear that. That's unpopular to talk about that. And so they wouldn't. They didn't. And in the meantime, Paul was just pouring his life out for the lost. And of course, you know, I think about this in my own life. Gee, am I too cautious? Am I too careful? Am I too quiet? Or should I be willing to be more of a, just more out there in giving away the gospel? You know, we have so many reasons for putting our light, putting something over our light. Peer pressure, fear of disapproval. Well, I won't try to take the time to dig up the different fears and reasons that we have, but we've become, sometimes if you've been a Christian for a long time, as I have, it's easy to come up with a multitude of reasons why we wouldn't talk about our Savior. But we do. And so Paul, I think, he says, listen, I'm not saying these things to shame you when he's talking to the Corinthians, but to admonish you. And so I'm your father in the gospel. Be imitators of me. Paul challenged them, be imitators of me. And so I think that's the challenge for us. You know, if we go back to this morning's message with Jesus and the seed and how it produces fruit, and then at the end he said, hey, you know, you don't light a lamp and then put a bushel over top of it. And his challenge for us is, let's be out there shining our light so that the world can see it. So that the world can see it. So what kind of soil are you and I? I think that, don't want to lose the seed. I think that the exciting thing is that no matter what kind of soil, that's me. Because I'm telling you, I think I've been every one of those kinds. Soil can be cultivated. You know, maybe God's working in your heart this morning. I know He's been working in my heart all week. All week. Sam, I got some things for you to do. And I think He's working in every one of our hearts. He's got some things for us to do. So work the soil in your heart. Let His Word come in. Hear it. Let it affect you. And go out and shine the light to a very, very, very needy world. Our world becomes darker and darker. You know, here's another cool thought about a light. I want to make sure I say this right. The saying goes like this: there is not enough darkness in the whole world to put out the light of the tiniest little candle. Right? Not enough. You just shine that little candle. I think that's the hope that we have in Christ. God does not give up on us. God has not given up on me. I had some great times this week sharing Him with other people. So that's, I think, what He's challenging us to. Let's pray together. Thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You for Your challenge to my heart this morning and just how You've been working in me, and I believe in us, down through the years, Lord. Lord, I pray, have Your way in us today. Lord, help us to just absorb You and the seed of Your Word and let it take root and just flourish in our hearts, Father. Lord, may we come to life. May we just let that little sprout grow up right out of the center of our being and become a brilliant, beautiful, colorful flower for all the world to see. Lord, I know it's not in me, but Lord, the seed is you and your word. And so we just ask you for those beautiful things to grow out of our lives for all the world to see. In Christ's name I pray, amen.